I want to refer you tonight to the first chapter of John's Gospel, a very familiar text of Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is one of the great texts of the Gospel. It points the sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what exactly John the Baptist did in John's Gospel chapter 1. You will notice in verses 19 and 20, when he was asked, Who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. You see, John the Baptist was the one who came to prepare the way before the Lord Jesus Christ. When in the next day John saw Jesus coming to him, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist gave to the Lord Jesus Christ his rightful place. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ the preeminence. Look away from man, for he cannot help you tonight. Look away from the church, for it cannot help you. Look away from the world and its pleasures, for it is nothing substantial to offer you. Look away from your sin tonight, for it will only draw you deeper into its quagmire of filth and degradation. Look to the Savior, the Lamb of God, and you will experience tonight God's so great salvation. For salvation is in no other. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This great text in the Gospel tonight, John 1:29, draws us under the shadow of the cross. It causes us tonight, in the closing moments of this Gospel service, to focus on the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon that cross to purchase eternal redemption for His people. Come under the shadow of the cross tonight. That old rugged tree where the Lord Jesus Christ bore shame and bore our sins. As you come under the shadow of the cross tonight, flee from your sin. Repent of your sin and experience the cleansing power of the precious blood of Jesus. There is power, sin-destroying power in the precious blood of the Lamb. This word, behold, grasps our attention. It causes us to focus upon the truth of the words that follow. Behold. The Lamb of God is used in many occasions in Scripture, and it's always significant. There's always something of great importance to follow. And here again, words of great importance. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And again in verse 36, Behold the Lamb of God. I want you to look at this text with me tonight. First of all, I want you to see the exhortation that is given. Behold the Lamb of God. And of course, this exhortation draws our attention to the sacrifices of the Old Testament. If you go to Exodus chapter 12 and consider the portion there, you will find out that there was a lamb chosen as the Passover lamb. And the first thing we notice about that lamb that was chosen there in Exodus chapter 12 was this, that it was a selected lamb. Verse 3 of Exodus 12 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers." A lamb for an house. It was a selected lamb. You remember Isaac's question in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7? Where is the lamb? Now that question was ultimately answered by John the Baptist when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, that Passover lamb in Exodus 12 is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is affirmed in Acts chapter 8, verses 32 to 35. You remember when that portion was read by Philip as he, the Ethiopian eunuch, as he sat in the chariot, and Philip opened his mouth at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The Lamb. The selected Lamb. The Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the church at Corinth there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he talked about Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. God's Lamb, selected to be the one who would bear our sins on His own body and the tree. Isaiah put it like this in chapter 53 and verse 6 of his prophecy, "The Lord hath laid on Him," that is on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." The Lamb was chosen and examined, and if you look there in Exodus 12 verses 1 to 6, on the first day of the month, and watched for 4 days to make sure it met the divine specifications. There's no question that the Lord Jesus Christ met all the requirements to be our Lamb. The Father said of Him in Matthew 3 verse 17, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." A selected lamb. But I want you to see also, not only was He the selected lamb, but He was the spotless lamb. And you go again to Exodus chapter 12 and consider that portion, and you'll discover in verse 5 it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." You take the portion in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 13, where God stopped Abraham, you remember, from killing his son Isaac. God spoke to him and said, "Abraham." And then if God provided the lamb in the place of Isaac. Now you'll notice what the Bible says. It was the ram caught in the thicket by the horn. So it was an unblemished lamb. It was caught by the horns. During the days preceding the Passover, our Lord's enemies questioned Him repeatedly, waiting for Him to say something they could attack. During His various trials and interrogations, Jesus was repeatedly questioned. But He passed every test. You see, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin. He did no sin. In Him was no sin. He's the perfect Lamb of God. He is the flawless, crimeless, spotless Son of God. Pilate repeatedly said of Christ, "I find no fault in this man." He repeatedly said that. even one of the thieves on the cross, he said to his fellow thief, "This man," referring to Jesus, "hath done nothing amiss." He's the spotless Lamb. The spotless Lamb. But then I want you to see, not only is he the selected Lamb, and not only is he the spotless Lamb, but he is the slain Lamb. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Going back to Exodus 12, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, the Lamb was slain. You'll notice that in that portion. "And its blood was applied to the lintel and side posts of the houses where the Israelites dwelt." It wasn't the life of the Lamb that saved the people from judgment, but the death of the Lamb. The death of the Lamb. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, and again in Leviticus chapter 17, "Without shedding of blood, there is no remission." Some people claim to admire the life and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't want the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet it is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross that paid the price of our redemption. And the Bible emphasizes this in various portions of Scripture. I refer to some this evening. The 20th chapter of Matthew and the verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. "Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many." That's the great purpose for which the Lord Jesus Christ came, to give his life to the death of the cross, to purchase salvation for us. And then if you go to chapter 26 of Matthew, the same book, Matthew 26, verse 28, you will read these words, Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." My friend, it wasn't spilt. You see, it was no accident the Lord Jesus Christ died. His blood was shed. It was shed for the remission of sins. And then, of course, we have that great text in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Christ, said Paul, was once offered to bear the sins of many. The Lord Jesus Christ was the slain Lamb. He was our substitute. For the Bible teaches us that He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. It was the death of deaths that He endured. However, you will notice from Exodus chapter 12 that to be effective, the blood had to be applied to the doorposts. For God promised in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." It isn't sufficient simply to know that Christ was sacrificed for our sins. We must appropriate that sacrifice for ourselves and be able to say with Paul in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me." To be able to say with Mary, who said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You see, our appropriation of the atonement must be personal. Must be personal. Has the blood been applied to your heart tonight? In this meeting? You know about the gospel. You know about these things. You've heard it all before. But if the blood has not been applied, you're not saved, my friend. You're not on the way to heaven, but rather you're on the way to hell. That's what the Bible says. And the Jews dipped the flimsy hyssop plants into the basins of blood there in Exodus 12 and applied the blood to the doorposts. Exodus 12:22. Hyssop was later used to sprinkle the blood that ratified the covenant in Exodus 24 and that cleansed and healed the lepers in Leviticus 14. Something weak, the hyssop. And our faith may be as weak as the hyssop, but it's not faith in our faith that saves us, but it's faith in the blood of Christ. It's faith in the blood of Christ. Have you faith in the blood of Christ tonight? Behold the Lamb of God. I want you to see here, not only as we have indicated in our first point, the exhortation that is given, but I want you to see, secondly, the explanation that is given, because it says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." People of Israel were very familiar with lambs and for sacrifices. At Passover, each family was to have a lamb, and during the year, two lambs a day were sacrificed at the temple altar, plus all the other lambs brought for personal sacrifices. They were very familiar with sacrifice and the sacrificing of lambs. And those lambs were brought by men to men. But here's something different. God's lamb given by God to men. It's something totally different. Those lambs could not take away sin, but the Lamb of God can take away sin. It can take away sin. Those lambs were for Israel alone, but this Lamb would shed His blood for the world. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ significantly both took sin and took it away. Dwell for a moment on the first fact tonight, that sin was actually laid on Christ. It was laid on Christ. Isaiah said that, didn't he? The Lord hath laid on Him, that is on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Sin was borne by Christ. Actually borne by Christ. Peter put it like this. He said, "Who His own self bore our sins on His own body on the tree." Men may make what they like of it. I'm not going to explain or apologize, but I say without hesitation that the sin of the world was laid on Christ. And He bore it, and He bore it away. The heaviest thing in this universe is sin. The earth has been known to open beneath the unbearable load of it. Neither angels nor men can stand under the load of sin. It sinks them lower than the lowest hell. And when sin was laid upon the Lamb of God, He bore it. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins. He sweat, the Bible says, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was exceeding sorrowful, the Scripture reminds us, even unto death. To have borne the weight of this world would have been nothing compared to bearing the sin of the world. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ bore the sin of the world. But best of all, He not only bore that load,
But He took it away. He took it away. The sin of the world. The sin which was laid upon Christ. It didn't remain there. He took it away. It remains no more. We read in Scripture many things about sin. As God forgives it, He blots it out, He forgets it, He casts it into the sea, He puts it behind its back. There are many other expressions and expressive figures that are used. But in some respects, the best of them is this: He takes it away. Or He taketh away. Blessed be His name. Sinner in this meeting tonight, if you believe on Christ, you need not ask, "Where is my sin?" Because Jesus has taken it away. Isn't that a wonderful truth? A glorious truth. By bearing it, He has borne it away. The day cometh when the sins of Jacob shall be sought. They shall not be found, because the Lord has taken them away. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken away the sin of the world. What a glorious truth tonight. That whatever your sin may be, that by His death upon the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has borne your sin away. And there is salvation available for you tonight. You will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But then there's the experience which is gladdening tonight. You see, this experience of God's salvation is a gladdening experience tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ took away our sins on His own body on the tree. Then there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. You can know personally tonight that your sins are gone. And what delight that brings to the soul. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. And you'll be able to say tonight, "My sins are gone." What a gladdening experience it must have been for that woman in the gospel who was a sinner. In Luke chapter 7, and the Lord said this: "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven." And again He said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Luke chapter 7, verses 47 and 48. What a gladness filled the heart of that woman at that experience. The experience that was gladdening. You have come in here tonight into this service and your heart is filled with sin. Thank God you can have this experience that is gladdening tonight, because you can experience the forgiveness of the Lord. You think of the prodigal son. When the father forgave him, he had an experience that was gladdening. There was rejoicing, because he was forgiven. And tonight you can go from this meeting rejoicing, knowing that your sins are forgiven. He was received back into the Father's house, and there was great rejoicing. And you can experience the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven, the sins that have blighted your life, the sins that have broken your health, the sins that have brought heartache and sorrow to your loved ones, perhaps sins that have wrecked your home and ruined your prospects. Those sins can be forgiven tonight. But not only is there forgiveness, there's freedom from sin. This is what forgiveness brings. The forgiveness of the Lord. Liberty to the captive soul. We had a young man just a few weeks ago in our own congregation from Dublin, and he was speaking and he was telling us
about this liberty that he had experienced. I'll not tell you all his testimony, but just suffice to say that he was saved as a young lad, and he had got into Bypath Meadow, wandered away into addiction, drugs and all that went along with it. But then there came that moment when he returned to the Lord, and he experienced this freedom from sin. Formerly bound, fettered by sin, but now released and relieved. The chains have been broken. And now he's ministering to these addicts in the city of Dublin, and has two homes that are ministering to addicts, one for men and another for ladies, for young women who have this terrible addiction problem. A young man freed from sin. You think of the experience of John Newton, so powerfully expressed in that hymn, Amazing Grace. And Newton was bound by sin. But he was able to say from the moment of his conversion, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Hymn writer said, Thou hast snapped my fetters, Thou hast made me free. Liberty and gladness I have found in Thee. Whom the Son sets free, He is free indeed. You think of the man there in chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel, the man delivered from demonic possession. The Bible says he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Testimony of this man. The amazing grace of God. Freedom from sin. That's what the Lord can do for you tonight. In this meeting. You've been bound and shackled by sin for years. And its evil habits. But God can break those chains and snap those bonds asunder tonight. But not only is there freedom from sin, but there's the fullness of God's salvation. You see, this salvation purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ, the slain Lamb. It is so great salvation. The emptiness of the world and its pleasures are replaced by the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, we read, And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. You come to this service tonight empty. You've tried the world and it's failed you. There's a void in your heart that only Christ can fill. None but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me. There's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. Receive of Christ's fullness tonight. Make no delay. Drink of the well of God's salvation and know that everlasting satisfaction that He gives. Fullness of grace. Fullness of glory. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, the psalmist said. And at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The fullness that is found in Christ. Have you experienced this fullness? Remember the woman at the well? She was empty. But she tasted of the living water. And Jesus said, If you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Listen what He said.
it shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A well of water. A fullness that is in Christ. You can never have that in the world. You can never find it in the world. And there are many people who are seeking it tonight, and they're disappointed and they're disillusioned. People in this town, no doubt, and my brother was speaking about that just in the announcements there, about people who have these problems. And Ballygowan has many people like that as well. In a small locality, you'd think, well, there couldn't be anybody like that in Ballygowan, I tell you. There are plenty of people like that. All around us, everywhere. But there's a fullness. Drink of the well of salvation. But then there's the fellowship of the Savior and of the saints of God. You know, there's a wonderful text, and you'll know it well, and it's again one of these beholds in Scripture, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. You see, if you open your life to Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes in to dwell with you, within your heart, then you'll have fellowship with Him. There's no fellowship like the fellowship that you can have with Christ. And of course, it's not only down here, but it's above. Because our fellowship down here will be sweet. And it is sweet, but it will be sweeter still when we sit down with Him in heaven and we partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb and we enjoy the unending ages of eternity in the presence of Christ down here and above, fellowship of Christ. But of course there's the fellowship of the Church of Christ, and some people say, well, I can have fellowship with Christ but I don't need to go to church. Some people have peculiar notions, you know, but the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, Hebrews 10:25. So there is a fellowship down here with the saints of God in the congregation of the local church. That's taught in Scripture. Are you miserable tonight? Are you dissatisfied with your life? You have no peace within your heart? Then come to the cross. There's satisfaction there. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The burden will be lifted. And you'll be saved. And you will have joy in your heart, a joy unspeakable, full of glory. You know, 41 years ago I made that great decision for Christ. And I experienced this joy. I know you think I'm just 41 now, but it was a little while before that. But you know, there's joy in my heart tonight. Because that night, on the 15th of January 1969, I was saved as a young lad. As a young boy, came to Christ. Born again, the Spirit of God. I beheld the Lamb of God. And the burden was lifted. I remember it just as if it was yesterday. That night when I knelt at my own bedside and asked the Lord Jesus Christ, become my Savior. Will you consider Christ tonight? The Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world. A party of friends went to pay a visit to an old parish church, which was of great interest. They applied for admission. The sexton gave them the key, saying, "You can unlock the door and go in, and I will come to you directly." They went to the door, put the key in, tried to open it, but nothing happened. They turned and twisted and got on at the door,
And nothing happened. Then the sexton arrived behind him and he said, "Sorry, I quite forgot to tell you the door is not locked at all. All you need to do is lift the latch and walk in." And a great many are like that, those people. They try by their own efforts to unlock the door of salvation. But all their efforts are a waste of time. Our Lord and Savior long ago, when He died upon the cross, unlocked the door. The work is finished. The work is done. All you have to do is lift the latch and by faith walk in to God's kingdom tonight. Can you do that? Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, lift the latch and walk into God's kingdom tonight by faith. Trust the Savior. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Father, we pray that Thou wilt indelibly write Thy word upon every heart, that Thou wilt speak tonight to souls in this meeting that are not saved. Lead them by faith to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.